Welcome back to Blogs on Tape. Today's posts are all from the Basic Red blog, written by Daniel Dean. They can be read using the Internet Archive's Wayback Machine, searching for basicredrpg.blogspot.com. Rogue Time Lords, originally published in August of 2017. Hit dice, saves, and advance as cleric. No armor or shields, no weapons. Time Lords never gain XP from treasure looted, but do gain XP from treasure they deny their enemies. They may use any magic item or scroll. They may advance to level 16. Time Lords have 5 abilities. Regeneration. When a Time Lord is reduced to 0 hit points, make a save versus death ray. On a successful save, you regenerate. Roll D100. If you roll above your constitution, you survive and take on a new form. You keep your experience points and levels, but re-roll all ability scores and re-roll your hit points. You may do this 12 times. Everyone at the table except you gets to describe some new affectation of dress or personality quirk, which you must now abide. Omniglot. A low-level psychic ability allows you to speak and read any written language. The DM may roll 1d8 twice in a row to make an exception, but must get an 8 both times. If dealing with creatures with no spoken or written language who are nonetheless capable of language, you may only get vague emotional states. Plot devices. Once per day, you may produce from your pocket some gizmo or other that allows you to roll 1d30 in order to accomplish a task. If you still fail, you must make a save versus wands or devices, or your dungeon master may make up some worst-case scenario bullshit to complicate your current situation. If you roll a 30, you not only succeed, but may use the same gizmo once more before the day is out. Hypnosis. A target must save versus petrification / gaze, or be under your influence. You are considered to have charisma 20, plus 5 bonus, for purposes of extracting information from a neutral party, intimidating or forcing a morale check from your enemies, or controlling your hirelings in a complex or life-threatening situation. An ally may choose to fail this save. Oncoming Storm. If you survive to 9th level, or your 9th incarnation, whichever comes first, you gain proficiency with all weapons and armor, gain the Thief's Sneak Attack ability, and gain a one-time-only D100 roll with your plot device, though rolling a 100 gets you a second use. You detect as chaotic evil. Shop Girl, originally published in August of 2017. Graphic: this post is illustrated exceptionally well by the cover of Fighting Princesses, Working Girls, written by Shintaro Kono, which depicts a lightly armored adventuring girl, surrounded by her arms, armor, and trophies, looking into the mirror of a vanity, where she's reflected as a woman in a modern space wearing modern clothes. End graphic. Start with any base class and add this on as a modifier. It costs you 1,000 XP more to reach second level, modifying how long it takes you to level all the way until you stop gaining hit dice. Plus 2,000 to reach third, plus 4,000 to reach fourth, etc. I explicitly stole this gag from Josie X. You can be a fighter, just trying to make ends meet, a cleric selling kitschy Pelor memorabilia, a regular old hobbit waitress, etc. Shop girls can be boys, too, and you can call that whatever you want. I'd probably call them shop girls still, but if that's sensitive for you, then use whatever. Or just call it shopkeep. Shop girls have 4 abilities. Heavy duty. Shop girls count as one size larger for determining encumbrance, lifting, forcing doors, etc. If there are attack or armor class penalties for being over-encumbered in your game, they do not suffer those. Cleaning up. Shop girls can clean any non-supernatural mess in a room in the span of an exploration round. Afterwards, they must rest or be exhausted until their next meal, where they will consume 3 times normal. A successful save against magic also allows them to clean supernatural messes within reason. Green slime still eats their mops. But a failure means they make it twice as bad in the process. Good day, sir! Once per day, a shop girl can raise her voice and put her foot down, forcing a morale check from a creature with fewer hit dice than she, or a second initial reaction check from creatures with greater hit dice than she. Have you seen the new BT-16? You choose what kind of shop you work for. Whenever you encounter the kind of thing sold in that shop, you can identify its type and provenance, and tell if there is something remarkable about it. Those are Chiluhuan shoes. They look magic. That's a Kingsbury loaf. Oh, that's a bad bake, Mary. It smells like poison. I'd recognize a Henderson quill anywhere. Henderson quills, because geese don't grow on trees. Anyway, this model hasn't seen circulation for 100 years. Shop girls require some manner of certificate, promotion, honorific, official recognition, or bonus perk in order to level. These cannot be granted by a god or king, but something much more important, a shop girl's boss. This means that even if you bust your ass in the dungeon, you've still got to be punctual and impress people back at the shop. Different Thieves, originally published in September of 2017. This is sort of based on the Tunnel and Trolls rogue, and that good at, bad at system someone put together, I forget who, and Telecanter's famous rogue, but adapted for a flail snail style experience with an eye on the setting I've been creeping toward. Normal thief proficiencies and restrictions and XP thresholds and saves and hit dice. Robbers. Each level, choose one thing you are skilled at. Whenever you would roll to do that thing, you roll an extra die of whatever kind you're rolling, usually a d20 or d6. You may always elect to take the higher roll or not for the rare situations you might want to roll lower. If more than one roll is successful, then the DM may either improve or multiply your success effect, or grant you some additional boon at their discretion. At first level and every even-numbered level, you may either choose 2 skills or 1 expertise, which is a skill that grants you 2 extra dice. At third level and every odd-numbered level, you become capable of using a different kind of magic item. First comes scrolls and potions, then rings and clothing, then weapons, then armor and shields. Starting from first level, whenever a robber employs a non-combat skill while engaged in combat, their allies each gain a damage bonus for that round equal to the robber's level. If the robber is off opening a safe during the gnoll fight, then this doesn't apply. Robbers who reach level 9 do not choose a normal skill that level, but instead gain either an expertise in an existing skill or supremacy in an existing expertise. Supremacy grants an additional die as well. Also at level 9, a robber decides whether to become a fighter or magic user, and levels up from there using the robber XP chart, gaining any abilities by level as if they were the new class, and the capability of using any magic items they can't use already. She no longer gains skills, expertise, or supremacy. She does, however, gain a new ability score, Fortune. Once per day, per level of fighter or magic user that the robber possesses, they may take their Fortune roll in place of an attack, damage, or saving roll. So, what are skills? They're something any character may attempt, but they only get 1 die per shot, while the robber gets up to 4. This includes metagame concepts like the wandering monster check, which you can chalk up to the robber's evasiveness. Initiative, surprise, navigation through wilderness with a map, etc. It includes pure combat elements like two-hit rolls, maintaining a grab, two-handed fighting. It includes old skills like rope use, things like Lamentation of the Flame Princess's architecture, D&D 4th Edition's endurance, D&D 5th Edition's persuasion, and cooking, and herbology, and map-making, and tattooing, and seduction, and camouflage, and smithing, and disguise, and impressions, and handling your ale. If you ask for something weird for a skill, it's up to the DM, who always gets to define when your skills are appropriate. Don't go thinking you can just take skills in fighting and stealing and call that lunch. Clerics of Sinistar, originally published in March of 2019. There is a whole planet that hates you, made of flesh and metal. He is hungry. He is coming. A planet with a meanie face. You have no other powers. Who'd need 'em? Beware. Sinistrines can cast Cause Fear at will. Run, coward! Any creature fleeing a Sinistrine does so at double their normal movement and is at -4 armor class. I hunger. Sinistrines can eat anything, like Matter Eater Lad, and put away their body weight per day. It takes just as long as it takes a normal person to eat stuff. Every body they devour this way gives them 100 bonus experience points.
Ah!
3 times per day, a Sinistrine can scream as a zero action and gain a 2-hit and damage bonus equal to its target if theirs is greater than their own for the same round. A natural 20 on this round's attack instantly kills anything with hit dice less to or equal than the party combined. No treasure or XP from gold for this kill, because Sinistar ate your quarters.
I am Sinistar!
On reaching 9th level, a Sinistrine is remade in his terrible image. He can float 50 feet per round in combat, has 360-degree vision, a bite equal to their previous armed 2-hit and damage bonus, is considered magical for the purpose of overcoming magic resistance, gains resistance and non-magical weapons themselves, and can survive in a vacuum. His hit points double, and then never again improve, even from magic. Journalist, an add-on class. Originally published in March of 2019. My add-on classes are, again, inspired by the work of Josie X, from the Metal vs. Skin blog, at metalvsskin.blogspot.com. One of the best bloggers in my crop, and a classy dungeon master if you're ever so lucky. Let me play an army, dear. Hope they publish again. Speaking of publishing, any class can be a journalist. You can call this a chronicler, or put all your notes in a magic flying diary, historian, whatever flavor you need. A journalist does not come with any special requirements, but if you elect to receive a journalist's benefits, you must perform the work of a journalist. Otherwise, you cease to advance as normal in your main class until you rectify the situation. Journalists change the normal rules for the game in 3 ways. No substitute for experience. Journalists gain +5% experience points for keeping copious notes and sharing them with the group. They can gain an additional +5% experience points for writing up a full session report in the style of an in-depth profile, thrilling exposé, or frontline correspondence, and sharing said article somewhere public, like Reddit or Twitter. They can elect to instead donate this bonus experience points to one other player character who features prominently in their report. Journalists carousing can elect to gain +1 to reaction rolls in a settlement instead of any XP bonus, better for gathering rumors, establishing contacts, and hiring retainers. No experience points are awarded for the cost of distributing your literature. The solace that you're speaking truth to power, and 5 silver a pop, a reward enough. Who's got you? Any named character in an adventuring party may re-roll a saving throw failed by a journalist with their own values if they are within 10 feet of the journalist and the save would allow them to avoid a trap, hazard, or direct damage spell effect. Said character acts swiftly and boldly to protect the journalist, sometimes putting their own life in danger. The journalist can benefit from this feature once a level for each named character of the party. Nose for News. A journalist begins with a special saving throw against bullshit. Whenever the Dungeon Master has some NPC deliberately attempt to outright mislead the party or tell a flat-out lie, the journalist gets a saving throw, rolled for them in secret by the Dungeon Master. A journalist's Dungeon Master should get used to throwing the occasional die just to throw the players off the scent of when they're being lied to. But you're doing that anyway, right? This bull save starts at 18 and improves by 1 point per level gained. 17 at level 2, 16 at level 3, etc. Other players cannot reroll this save on the journalist's behalf, as outlined above, although a fellow journalist may get their own save. Tossers. Originally published in September of 2019. Graphic. A pair of panels from an X-Men comic in which Colossus picks up and throws Wolverine, claws out, towards an enemy. End graphic. What are you laughing at? So, tossers are also called pucksters, fastballers, throwmeos, and mother chuckers. And they are, in all respects, fighters. With one step better hit dice than normal in your game. In all other respects, they are fighters. Except, they are proficient with no conventional weapons. They are proficient exclusively in found hurled weapons, which they can hurl their strength plus level in feet. This includes enemies. This includes fellow player characters. When throwing an unattended object, treat it as a 1d3 item and use the higher of your strength or dex bonus to determine a hit. If it isn't something you could conceivably shove with your same strength score, like a wall or an obelisk, you can't throw it. When throwing an enemy, you may attempt an unarmed attack roll plus your strength bonus, if any, to grab an enemy on a hit. You can elect to keep the enemy grappled slash held as per normal rules, or you may throw them as part of the same action. At first level, you may hurl any enemy with one hit dice or less. At second level, you may hurl any enemy with two hit dice or less, and so on up to 9 hit dice. Enemies of roughly humanoid slash demi-human size and shape with more than 9 hit dice may also be hurled, as long as 1. Their total hit dice is lower than your level, and 2. They get a saving throw versus paralyze slash petrify to land safely. Enemies who take fall damage this way are treated to have fallen an additional 20 feet. An enemy making contact with a solid object takes 1d8 plus your strength bonus. And if the solid object is like spikes or a trap or on fire, they may suffer other effects. An enemy colliding with one or more enemies means you roll 1d10 damage plus your strength bonus, and then the Dungeon Master describes the damage among the victims as she sees fit. When throwing a party member, you may use the higher attack value between you and the thrown player character, and the higher damage between the two of you. And the PC gets a death save to land safely. This effectively uses the thrown player character's turn in concert with yours, so ask for consent and throw responsibly. If the player character gets any bonus to a successful hit, like sneak attack or magic weapon effect, it can go off thanks to your roll. This, by definition, moves the thrown player character. You cannot throw a player character with more hit dice than you. Summing up, the main rules for this class are: no weapons, throw anything you can move normally with strength, throw an enemy or player character with hit dice equal to or less than your own, throw high-level enemies if they are basically people of a lower level than you who fail their save. Throwing distance is your strength plus level in feet. Tossers may wield no magic weapons, unless they are specifically meant to be thrown, like Thor's hammer, and may only wear magic rings and gloves that improve their throwing power or accuracy. Also, potions and, capes. Magic capes. At level 9, they do not establish a kingdom or attract a bunch of acolytes, but they become proficient in all weapons. They also become famous for throwing things, and can earn lots of money, throwing things for people for fun and show and signing autographs. That was Rogue Time Lords, Shop Girl, Different Thieves, Clerics of Sinistar, Journalist, an Add-on Class, and Tossers, all written by Daniel Dean and read for you by Nick L.S. Whalen. Blogs on Tape is a project to make great blogs more accessible. It's a community effort which you can contribute to by, you know what, starting a blog, writing out your RPG thoughts, putting them on the internet, and using that platform in conversation with other people who are doing the same thing, and then eventually writing something really cool that I read on this podcast. Nothing lasts forever, but I am feeling pretty morose about Basic Red going away, and I hope the RPG blogging scene continues to grow and develop. And if you're not inclined to start your own blog, leave comments on the blogs you read. Every one of us is so hungry for thoughtful, or at least kind, comments. And whether you do either of those things, thank you very much for listening.